It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Matthew Ingram joins Jeff and Gina. We'll talk about glass. We're learning a lot more. In fact, we'll also talk about Sorek, who's hacked glass. The jailbreak is here. I'll give you a little preview of the Galaxy S4. Compare it to the HTC One 2. It's all next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 196, recorded May 1st, 2013. Oppo Samsung style. This Week in Google is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the reliable domain name registration and management service that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, visit hover.com/twig and use the offer code TWIG. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of over 200,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/twig to receive a free design consultation. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show that covers Google, the cloud, Facebook, Twitter, all of that stuff. Really, frankly, anything that our esteemed panel wants to cover. Because when you get people like this together in a room talking, I'm not going to be the guy that says that's off topic. We'll start with Matthew Ingram all the way over here from Giga Ohm, just back from Italy. Hello, Matthew.
Hi.
Good to have you. You were in Perugia for what conference?
The International Journalism Festival.
It wasn't a conference. It was a festival.
Yeah, like a conference, but more fun.
Sounds awesome. Awesome. Also with us, professor of journalism at the City University of New York, the author of What Would Google Do and Public Parts, the esteemed Jeff Jarvis, blogger.
You're going in reverse order.
I am. I'm throwing you, aren't I? Usually I...
you got to mix it up.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
Yeah, I usually start with ladies first. Gina Trapani of SmarterWear.org, founding editor of Lifehacker and a creator of ThinkUp. At thinkup.com. Hello, everybody. Oh, and host of All About Android. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So yesterday, I let you guys... This is a review unit from AT&T of the Galaxy S4. I just heard mine shipped today. I bought the unlocked European one from Expansys, which has the octa-core. It's an eight-core. This is AT&T's is a quad-core Snapdragon.
But no LTE then?
No LTE, but I'm going to run it on T-Mobile, and their HSPA Plus is pretty fast here. So I don't need LTE. I wanted an unlock phone for travel, right, Matthew? Yeah. You need an unlock phone. Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
But Samsung did lend us this, or I guess AT&T lent us this for a review, and I will review it on Before You Buy next week. But we did a little unboxing yesterday. You guys played with it on All About Android. What were your thoughts?
Oh, when we checked it on All About Android?
Didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We totally did, Ron. Thank you for lending it to us. We really like it. It's a beautiful phone. I think the one thing we were concerned about was that the storage, a lot of storage. It ships with
16
like 40% storage already used.
Yeah, yeah, it's only 16 gigs total. But you can't put an SD card. My experience with Android, though, is SD cards don't work as well as internal memory. Have you had that?
You can't put apps on it.
Right. Well, you can.
It's like half full, right, when it ships?
Yeah. Let me see. Let's just check. So,
phone problem too.
And I've already put apps on here, so it won't. This is not going to show what it has when it ships. But this is the other thing. By goodness gracious, there are a lot of settings. This is the settings panel. It's now tabbed. So I presume I'll go to my device and look for storage. You got to get used to a whole new way of finding stuff. And I don't see it there. Maybe under more. Yeah, storage. So that was tab 3. Total space left. Now, I've installed 100 apps, is 9 gigs. I've got 2 gigs of applications. I don't have any pictures, videos, or audio on here yet. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Total space, 9.62 gigs. That's total available space after I put my stuff on, 6.9 gigs. So you are going to buy it. You need to buy an SD card in here. And absolutely, there won't be room for pictures, videos, or audio on the main storage. You'll have to put it on the SD card.
And you can't uninstall
so
any Samsung apps.
Those things. It's odd.
Yeah, you can't uninstall these Samsung apps without rooting, I presume.
Right. Right. So that was a little bit like, not loving that, but beautiful looking, good looking phone. I mean, I'm really torn. I love the HTC One. I love that the speakers are on the front. I love the design of it. It just, the hardware looks really nice. But I am curious about the Samsung apps in particular. And the S4 looks really nice. You have the screen side by side, right?
Yeah, like, here's identical. Now, and I should say on the Galaxy S4 AMOLED, I've set it to movie mode, which supposedly is the most color accurate mode. It's not that bright Samsung AMOLED look.
Is the HTC thinner?
They're pretty similar. HTC is maybe a little thinner. It feels heavier because of its metal. The Samsung, everybody remarked the fact because it's plastic, it feels cheesy. It's made even cheesier by this pseudo chrome on the edge here, which it just really feels junky.
That's plastic?
It's plastic. Not it's chrome. All plastic. And that's fine because you get better antenna characteristics. If it's a question of hardware, the nice thing about the One is it has 32 and 64 gigabyte models. So you can have plenty of storage on here. You can't add an SD card, but in some ways I think main storage trumps SD because you can use all of it for apps and so forth. The screen I think is better on the HTC One. Both are 1080p screens. HTC One is a higher dot pitch because it's slightly smaller, 4.7 compared to 5. But I think it's also because it's an IPS LCD. I think the screen is more accurate than... Now, a lot of people love Super AMOLED look, that rich saturation, the deep blacks, and I have to agree. But this screen, to me, the HTC One screen is a better screen. Battery life is poor on both of them, but because the HTC is not removable, it's more of an issue. I actually am buying a Mophie case for this HTC One. The Galaxy S4, I'm going to do as I've done with other Samsung phones, which is just buy a separate battery because it's very easy to pry off the back on the Galaxies and put a new battery in. I think that's a real advantage to having. That's where plastic gets you somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to put it in a case, and I think in both cases you probably are, then who cares what the actual phone feels like? Both are very fast. I don't think you're going to. Some people have complained about, and I haven't had this S4 long enough, but I have read reviews that complain about some hesitation and sluggishness on the S4. By the way, you notice I have replaced Sense and TouchWiz with my own launcher. I use the Nova launcher, and I far prefer different widgets as well. That's going to be the big difference, in my opinion, and the deciding factor on which phone you get is, you know, yes, you're right, Gina. The front-facing speakers are so much superior on the HTC One. That boom sound is great.
They're running a commercial centered around the speakers, like, you know, basically saying it makes no sense if you want to listen to something that the speakers should be facing forward, right? It has like bands on stage facing the back.
Yeah.
And it really gets the message across. Yeah, no, they're really smart. I mean, you know, on one hand, I think, well, like, am I really watching something that I care about the audio being perfect on my phone? No. But, you know, increasingly people watch videos and pass their phone around and you know, listen to voicemails on speaker. I mean, it really does make a lot more sense.
You know, you might,
on the front.
Because of these good speakers, it might change things a little bit because you can actually just prop the HTC One up and listen to a book or even music and it sounds good enough. So in a case where you might have bought external speakers for your phone, it's pretty good. It's certainly good enough for an audiobook. The surprisingly good sound. But the big difference, I think, is the customizations that both manufacturers did to Android. I think that's really, especially for our audience, where it's going to be a deciding factor. And it's really going to depend what you want your phone to do. HTC Sense dumbs this phone down considerably. And there's things you cannot change. I'll give you a really simple example. My lock screen. Now, I happen to like the HTC Sense lock screen a lot. I'm using a photo screen, so it's doing a photo album. It's got time and weather. But these five icons on the bottom, the controls, phone, message, lock, internet, and camera cannot be changed. I use Chrome. I don't use the built-in internet browser. I don't use the AT&T messages instead of the standard message. So I would like to change these. On the Samsung, the lock screen is infinitely, in fact, perhaps too configurable. Notice I've taken off the Life Companion, replaced it with my name. That was one of the first things I did. But you could put widgets on here. You can really change it. HTC Sense is much more locked down. There are not nearly as many settings when you go to the system settings. And, of course, with Sense, as with Samsung's TouchWiz, they've changed how the standard Android settings look and work. And AT&T has configured this too, and this may be different for you, but AT&T has taken away some things that I find very valuable. For instance, in power usage, I want to know, is it this is prettier than the Android look, but I want to know when it comes to usage, how much is devoted to the screen? AT&T or HTC, I'm not sure which, has disabled that. I believe it's...
They obviously went out of their way to obscure that information from you.
Because the screen is a big part of the drain.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they went out of their way to remove that from the list...
I find that very annoying.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's shady.
It's shady.
Is what it is. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's going to be the negative on the HTC One, if you're the kind of person that really wants to get in there and tweak it. Samsung's gone the exact opposite direction. I've never seen so many settings. This rivals Facebook for the number of tweaks and settings and things you can do. Hundreds of settings in here. Everything is configurable. If you're the kind of person that wants a phone where you customize it up the wazoo, if you'll forgive my French, this is a much better choice for you. If you're the kind of person that wants a phone just to be beautiful and functional, then the One. I have to say, I really like the Zoes and the highlights that the HTC One makes. I think the camera is a great feature. I like the low light capability of the camera. I think the HTC One camera does rival the iPhone 5, even in bright light. It's a very nice camera, despite its 4 megapixels. Samsung opted for this 13 megapixel camera. And the other thing about that you'll notice with the Galaxy S4 immediately, the load up of crapware is unbelievable. Things like scrolling a page as you look up and down. I don't know anybody who's going to use this. The camera settings go on and on and on and on. I mean, it's just, there's so much you can do with this thing. You know, again, if you like that kind of thing, if you like to be able to customize everything like crazy, you're going to be very happy. A lot of it feels like junkware, and certainly some of the things like hovering and scrolling with the eyes and stuff feel a little bit gimmicky. However, you know, I played a little bit, for instance, with the Samsung. Some of the Samsung modes are very interesting. Let me see if I can find the. Go back to my gallery here. I did a, what is that? They call that the highlight mode or the superstar mode, where you could take a picture of a person moving and get all the images. The One has a few things sort of like this, but I think that's still also a little bit gimmicky. I don't know. There's so many modes in this thing.
You have such a good staff, Leo.
They play along.
They really do. They're so totally game.
Yeah, there goes. So you tap this mode button, and it has auto mode, which is probably where you mostly work. Beauty face. Best photo takes a series of pictures, selects the best. It takes 8 pictures. Best face. You take a number of pictures, 5 pictures of a group, and then pick which part of the group you want the best face from and combine the 5 pictures. The One does something very similar, although I couldn't get it to work. Sound and shot is a still where there's audio behind it. Drama is the one that I was showing where it's multiple pictures of somebody moving in a single frame. The stupidest one, there's animated photo, which is the stupidest one is the one, of course, with you in the middle of it, where it takes pictures from both the front and the back cameras. Very, very strange.
The dad photo, right?
Yeah,
like
the dad photo.
Dad's always taking pictures
really
of the
weird.
Kids. Yeah,
yeah. I have a few of those. And you have different frame treatments and so forth. But to me, it looks very odd. Here, I'll show you what mine look like, because it looks like my head's just floating in the middle of the picture.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of exhausted just going through all those. This feels like the Microsoft Word.
It is.
Right? Like it would just get more and more setting, more and more features to sell another new version, right?
Right.
But it would just be exhausting. Like as a user, you'd be like, I just want to bold some text.
Yeah.
Right?
Or take a photo.
Yeah.
I just like to take a photo. I don't want to like scroll through this endless carousel of special shots that I don't even know what they mean. What is beauty face?
I don't know.
Beauty face going to help me out on this HD camera here.
Yeah, beauty face. I don't want beauty. So you're exactly right. And so to me, this is the kind of philosophical difference between the two. You know, you really should add the Nexus 4 as the third choice. The Nexus 4 is the pure Google phone, right?
That's what I've got.
Yeah, no LTE, but in every other respect, a pure phone.
This is making me hold all the more dearly to my Nexus 4 and hope that Google comes out with a pure phone soon, like in 2 weeks.
I think what Google could do at Google I.O. is exactly do this X phone from Motorola that has the power and capability of something like the HTC One without all of the restrictions and the gloss. But if you want a phone, if you're choosing between these two and you want a phone that just does a great job, is a beautiful phone, I'd like the HTC One. If you want more capability to customize, then I think the Galaxy S4. They're both very good phones, very similar in category. They do best the Nexus 4 in, you know, in a number of ways because they're more recent. So the real question is, what's Google going to do to respond to these? Because these are now the standard, I think.
Yeah, for what it's worth on all of an Android. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, for what it's worth on All About Android, the consensus is that we, you know, that the really nice handsets, but we're all sort of biased. Of course, it's a show about Android, but we're all sort of biased toward the pure Android experience.
Right.
So Ron was saying last night, was he showing this phone, like, yeah, I like this. I just don't like the extra software. And I feel the same way. I've been sort of true to the Nexus line since the beginning. While I'm tempted by the HTC One because the hardware design is really nice, I want my Android just straight out of Google and see exactly what the sort of default intended experience is.
I'm with you, Gina. I don't like a lot of that software and stuff. It makes me not want it. It makes me want the opposite.
Exactly. Well, it's a question then. What would be wrong for a Samsung to say it's an option that you can clean it up and just go back to pure Google?
Well, it's going to happen because it may happen first with the HTC One, the Cyanogen folks immediately bought HTC Ones. HTC supports unlocked bootloader right out of the box. I think people will probably root it in Cyanogen mod. I think they already have a beta, early beta mod. So presumably you will be able to at some point put 4.2 on here pure. That might be kind of interesting. Although I do like some of the HTC features.
I mean, I wish that companies like Samsung would kind of take the Facebook Home approach, where it's like, hey, here's the Samsung launcher. You have an option to set as your default launcher. The phone ships with it as your default launcher, but you can change it to something else.
Yeah.
Here's a folder full of Samsung apps, which you can uninstall and which you is set as your default. But you know what? When you click on tap on camera, you can choose. Do you want the built-in Android camera? Do you want the Samsung camera? You tap on the always box. You make your choice. I mean, it just would be so respectful to users to say, hey, yeah, give a choice. Like, hey, this is our product. We're going to make them the defaults, but you're free to back out and choose something else if you want. I'd love to see that, but that's just not how it works, right? Samsung's trying to differentiate, right? They're trying to say this is our platform, and they didn't say the word Android. I think they said the word Android once during their whole presentation. So they're trying to dress it up in Samsung style.
Do they sing it, Gina?
Should we show before we show that video, which we are going to? I just want to say that I think this is a trend in tech in general. I've noticed this. It came up on Twitter on Sunday because we were talking about Microsoft very, very reluctantly saying, well, we might add. Well, actually, they haven't said. The rumors are they might add boot to desktop in Windows 8. I blame Apple. I think Apple paved the way in ignoring users. Yeah. And saying our way or the highway, we believe we know exactly how it should be, and we're going to give you that. Now, to Apple's credit, they were often right. Steve had great taste, right?
Yeah, only ones right.
Right, but what happens is everybody looks at them and says, "Oh, maybe this is the way to differentiate in a market that's becoming commoditized, and there's nothing more commoditized than Android phones. Maybe the way to differentiate is to tell the users what they want." And I think Windows 8 is a good example of a company by fiat saying you will do it this way or no other way. Microsoft's done it. I think Samsung's doing it. I think HTC's doing it. It's the way they differentiate. But I agree, it's disrespectful to users. I think we should come step forward as users and just say exactly what you just said, Gina. Give us a choice.
What drew me to these devices was the Google apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. S Translate. Google Translate. I want Google Maps, right? I mean, look, if someone else comes out with a better navigation app, that hasn't happened yet, right? But I want Google Maps. I want Gmail, right? Like that's. Amen. I feel like that's the offering. I mean, right now that's the offering. I know that that's not what Samsung wants. You know, Samsung wants you to buy their phone because the Samsung apps are superior, but they just haven't proven that yet. And look at that camera. You know, they're not getting there.
Right, and Gina, if I like their hardware, but want different software, what's the harm to them if I still buy their phone?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And well, the Best Buy by me now has a gigantic Samsung display space, really big. It's like a little store in the store. And so, which was interesting. But then B, I was playing with the Note 8. which I'm tempted by versus my Nexus 7 because it has the pen, and the pen makes sense on something that size, I think. So I might, you know, buy that Samsung thing, and I'm not so dependent on the tablet as I am on the phone for all these applications I use. And maybe I'm going to be okay with the Samsung stuff then, and I need the pen stuff there. I'm okay with it. I'm not anti at all. I just want choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, I've always been sort of interested more in software than in hardware. I've never, like, I'm not much of a gadget freak, but I look at that HTC One, and I'm like, that's a beautiful.
Well, that's the thing. The Nexus 4 is only 768. This is 1080. You don't have LTE. You can get LTE on the HTC One if you go with an LTE carrier. So I'm not a huge fan of the Nexus 4. I think you make some hardware compromises. So you're saying I want pure software and I'm willing to compromise on the hardware.
More important to me. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is odd, but I want simplicity.
And it's not like we're giving up. It's not like you're giving up. You get all the same things plus, right, on these phones. Yeah. There's a few things you're giving up on the one particularly where they're just things you can't customize.
That's a pain.
Yeah, and that's a little paternalistic. I'm a little unhappy about that. But again, I'm sure I could root this and do something with it.
But, you know, those companies like Samsung should look at people I know who are Apple devotees and have had iPhones forever, and they're using Google apps on the iPhone because the apps are better.
Right.
And then eventually that probably might suck them into, you know, going fully Android.
Well, I think that you can make that case, and I think Google's smart to be making these reference phones. Mm-hmm. I really felt the Nexus 4 was a developer phone. I was surprised to see how much consumer acceptance.
I thought it was at first too, but it's a good phone.
People like it. I'm kind of tempted to get one just to have, you know, to see the differences. I guess because I don't know what I actually don't know what vanilla Android looks like.
I think it's Leo. I think it's so good. I would say it's the Pixel of phones.
You have to do that, don't you? You have to do that.
That good.
All right, let's play the. Jeff on Google Plus posted this, and do we know? We don't know where it came from.
No.
No, it's the Samsung.
Yeah. Pardon me.
S4 launch event from India, so it was
Indian S4 launch event. Roll it back so we can see it from the beginning. You got to see it from the beginning here.
Sorry.
And this, by the way, I did a little research. This guy is not just some guy off the street. He's a fairly well known Bollywood star, up and coming Bollywood star, Ranveer Singh. It's interesting they use size image for this. So it's very Bollywood. And if you're going to launch a phone in India, why not?
Samsung style. If you like the S3, then this phone is even better. It has an HD screen and is just a lot slimmer. 41 ppi is not just a number. Look at this clarity, it's brighter.
I like it.
Message pe ungli lagao to wo khulta hai. Jab tum na dekho to ye video pause karta hai. Upar se niche dekho page scroll karta hai.
You gotta understand your market. I think culturally, this fits the market. It's Bollywood.
It's crazy garish. I mean, it's much like the Broadway launch in New York.
And I'm not Indian, so I don't know. But my sense is this probably speaks to the Indian customer better than the Broadway thing spoke to American customers.
Well, the Broadway thing didn't speak to an American customer. That's the point.
No, and I know. I'm not Indian, so I don't know. But I would guess this is more...
I mean, he's doing the dance. That's not Bollywood. That's the Psy dance.
Yeah, but it's a... you don't watch Bollywood movies, do you?
No, you're right. I don't watch a lot of
the normal reaction of people who've not seen Bollywood before is, boy, that's cheesy and garish.
Well, I mean, I've seen Bollywood routines like in, you know, there's in various shows. There's been one in, wasn't there one in Glee? There was one in Smash. Felicia Day did one with
she did a great one. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, she did a really good one. So, yeah. Anyway.
This follows, and there was also a Samsung appliance marketing launch in South Africa, which for no good reason had lots of bikinied women in it, which caused a furor there. There's something about Samsung marketing that's a little off.
Well, we've decided that too much money is the problem.
Yeah.
Because somebody pointed out that the amount of money dedicated to marketing is directly correlated to the amount of money they're making. So the more they make on the phones, the more they have to spend on marketing. And at some point, you have too much money to spend on marketing, obviously.
Well, I was saying on All About Android last night, like, it worked. I mean, we're talking about it. We've played it on two shows now. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're saying that it was that it's a little embarrassing. I mean, I was a little embarrassed for the guy who the lead singer. But hey, it was fun. I mean, I watched it.
Yeah, and I just think we don't have the cultural ability to
context
for it.
Well, judging from the Broadway launch in New York, I was like, oh.
That we have the cultural context to pan.
Yes. And I love Broadway. I love Broadway.
I do too.
And yeah, Virgil just said in the chat room, Big Bang Theory did do a Bollywood routine. That's right. Yeah,
Bollywood's everywhere now.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back with more great panel. Matthew Ingram. By the way, we already determined before the show, nobody here has glass.
No, next week.
I'll have it on Wednesday.
You got your invite.
Mm-hmm. I did. I got my invite. I'm very, very excited. I'm gonna drive up to Google LA this weekend.
You decided you have the choice, right? They'll mail it to you, but you can also get it fitted and get trained.
Exactly. They'll mail it to you. They start shipping today on May 1st. Ah. But they strongly encourage that you come to the office. And I guess it's a fitting, which takes about 30 minutes, which sounds long to me. But and then there's a tour. They take you on like an hour long tour of using glass.
Oh, fun.
I'm really excited. I know. It's dorky. I'm really excited, though.
So, Gina, are you going to wear it in the shower?
I'm not going to wear it in the shower. No.
Just checking.
Yeah, okay. No. So let's get it out of the way. Robert Scoble, there's a precedent. He did this before to publicize his book with Shell, Israel. He and Shell were together in the shower naked. That was even more unappealing.
Disturbing, yeah.
Yeah.
My reaction to this picture is very simple. Don't look down.
That's a codpiece. Well,
so did you see that Scoble and Andrew Keen were kind of having at it at it was the NextWebs conference. They were having a sort of confrontational discussion where Andrew Keen was basically like, are you going to wear that in the public bathroom? Like, I'm not going to stand next to you at a urinal if you're wearing those things
in
your head.
Didn't Scoble in his review say he went into something like four different men's rooms with the glass
on?
He said he'd been in like 20 men's rooms.
Scoble wrote a very, very good Google Plus post only about a half an hour ago. In which he just, you know, in Robert length, but he just said, come on, folks. You know, of course I'm not going to do that. You know, you're just going, the privacy people are going overboard preemptively. And I'm glad he was fighting the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, it seemed like, you know, he was saying, like, they're not on all the time. I'm not recording at all times. I mean, I think there are new social norms that have to get formed around this. He said someone suggested putting the glasses kind of on top of his head when you're in the bathroom, which would be sort of a way to sort of signify like, hey, I'm not recording. Mm-hmm. He also said, you know, I don't look down. Men don't look down. It's like man code, right? I mean, you just don't do that. Right. And that's something, there's no laws about that. There's no, you know, signs. You just know not to do that. And he's saying no talking. I don't know.
But that's presuming that whoever's wearing these creepy glasses in the men's room is going to adhere to these. Well, but mores, and I don't think that there's any reason to assume that.
Well, no, Have you ever been
in a men's room where somebody had their cell phone out? I mean, do guys not take their... So how do you know that they're not taking a picture?
I've seen guys talking on... This is far more disgusting. I've seen guys talking on the phone while wheezing.
I saw a guy doing that, and then he dropped his phone into the urinal and screamed, and everybody in the room applauded. I kid you not. Everybody went, yeah.
I had a guy pitch me on a story at a urinal. That is, to me, wearing Google glasses is way better than that.
Yeah, because at least with glasses, FN Dunn in our chat room says there's no legal right to privacy in a public restroom. That cannot be true.
No, that's not. Because if a camera is not, that's wrong. It's not a public restroom. Cameras, you know, pervs have put cameras in public restrooms and gotten arrested for it.
Yes.
No. That's not the case. There's a presumption of privacy there. But the point is, yeah, I mean, a little LED light is going to, I guarantee you, is going to be put on the glass in the next version so people will know it's recording or not. But B, Leo, I got to disagree. That this idea of if it can go wrong, then with one, if there's one bozo, one ass in the world who might do this, then, oh, my God, the thing is ruined. Well, that's true of a lot of life, cars. Phones on camera.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Lots and lots of things. You got to have some faith in society that we figure this out. We come up with norms and we do it. And that's the problem is that even before anybody has the damn glasses, some of these people are screaming, bloody murder about it, and it's
Do you remember when talking on your cell phone was considered really rude? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
when
now everybody talks to themselves.
That was just the height of rudeness.
Well, I haven't seen some of the videos coming out through Glass, and they're just like they make me a little bit nauseous. A guy published a video of he like dunking a basketball wearing Glass, which was really cool, but it was also just like, oh, I feel a little sick because it's just so jerky. It's like Blair Witch.
If you're wearing Glass, you're never gonna nod again.
Yeah, if you're recording anyway. Video. Yeah.
Like, I watched the one even in the demo. Of the guy with, I think it was his son, and he was going around in a circle, and I had the same feeling as you, Gina. I can't even watch, you know, movie handheld handycam movies where they go around in circles. It just makes
it doesn't make great video. The sound, if you're more than 2 feet away, the sound is bad. Somebody went Mashable, or I think it was Mashable, went on Today's Show. Oh, here's Matt.
Yeah,
here's
Lance Ulanoff. Yeah. And I'm just annoyed by all the journalists who've got it.
And you know, the videos irritating. It's not a great video.
It irritates me.
But one thing that there's a Bradley Horowitz piece that's really good where he speculates about a lot of possible uses. Like we can look at the Eiffel Tower and see others' virtual graffiti on it or things like that. And he said, imagine if you're in a crowd and suddenly there's a whole bunch of glass there and everybody turns at the same time. Then you're going to believe that there's something going on there where you're looking.
Well, yeah. That same thing if everybody turns their head at the same time. That's well, Tim. We're looking, if you're watching the video, Tim Stevens of Engadget doing his review. We're going to have, is Tim going to, for sure on Twitter?
Yeah.
We're going to have Tim and Scoble on Twitter on Sunday, presumably both wearing their glass.
Well, you're going to be a glass fest. Jealous.
I'm going to be so jealous.
Yeah. I have to admit, you know, when I was in Italy looking at things, I wish if I had had something that would pop up a little, you know, Wikipedia entry or something to tell me even just a tiny bit of history about something, that would be worth it.
That's Field Trip. I'm surprised they haven't ported Field Trip to Glass. That seems like what Field Trip was invented for.
Oh, yeah. That's a no-brainer. That's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think still photos is will be maybe a better use. I don't think that this set a lot of moving video is going to be great. Yeah, first person... I mean, I want to go like paragliding first thing and wear glasses, you know, and see,
like
you know, that'll be really fun, you know.
Don't show that to me. I can't stand heights, as you know. Bridges and heights. I don't like them.
Oh, it's bridges and heights.
Oh, yeah. No, it's related.
Yeah.
Really?
Same thing. Yeah. I was at a party the other night, and you know, the only few times I've seen people with glass, it's people who have to wear them in addition to their eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm worried about. Real you problem. And I have glasses. What are we going to do, Jeff?
It's a real problem. And by the way, that your little fix for the men's room, you're going to miss the urinal with your glasses on top.
So,
well, Scoble had removed glass, but had his glasses on underneath. Is that how it works now? Do you put glass? You put glass on top?
You put the glass over, I think.
That's going to be dorky. That's as bad
it's really
as 3D.
Dorky. It's really
3D
a
glasses.
Problem. And they should have thought of this. It's too many young people at Google who don't have bad eyes yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's
and
that's actually
really
a good
I've
example.
I've never done contacts. You wear
maybe
contacts
it comes
Gina?
With laser treatment.
I don't. No, I don't wear contacts.
Yeah, I can wear my contacts, but I still. I don't. Anyway, whatever. Now I can't talk about glass because I'm going to sound like I'm jealous because I am.
We got to get Leo his.
That's all right, Google. Google doesn't like me. It's okay. I don't care.
There was a rumor they were working with Warby Parker.
Right.
On Warby versions.
Right, which would have, you know, your prescription lenses in there. Mm-hmm. They do. It looks like they come with sunglasses, right? They come with a pop-in sunglasses.
Yeah, I'm going to go to my eyeglass guy and say, how ridiculous is the price to make lenses that will fit on?
Wow, you are dedicated.
Well, I think it's going to be ridiculous. My wife will shoot me.
You definitely are. You're dedicated.
We'll film it when she shoots you.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We got the... Well, you know, that's, by the way, where the Scoble in the shower came from is not from glass. He was I don't think he was looking in a mirror. I think his wife, Miriam, took that picture.
He was. There's her photo credited somewhere. Yes. Yeah. He did.
So blame his wife.
There's also a picture of him. Leo, while you got it there, it's on the rundown. There's the picture of him in the shower. The next one down is him with the warm afterglow.
Right.
Oh, show dear. I don't know if I want to.
It's unfortunate.
That's in a robe. And then the next picture down in the rundown is the one you want to show.
Really?
Yeah, you do. If you're not. It's okay. It's okay, Leo.
It's
I wouldn't
right.
lead you astray.
It's the new Goatsy. We decided on Sunday that this is the new Goatsy is Robert in the shower. Oh, there's Miriam not in the shower. There you go. No, that's not Miriam. Who is that? That's somebody else.
It's one of the, looks like it's one somebody of the glass.
Saying, if you're going to wear your glass in the shower, make sure you bring an umbrella.
Oh, she's one of the marketing glass marketing folks at Google.
Really? Oh, okay. That's cool.
So I don't know. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm just, we'll see. You can't, I think you have, I think last, as I said last week, is one of those things you have to use to understand. So I'm just going to reserve judgment.
Like a Pixel. You got to use it for
no, I use the Pixel and I understand it. I'm afraid I do understand it, Jeff. Our show today brought to, we're going to come back with a changelog, Gina. Prepare your trumpets.
Got it.
Get the trumpets oiled up.
Up for sure, ready.
Empty the spit valve. Our show today brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the way to do domain registration. As soon as Hover came out, and this is a creation of Two Cows, they've been doing a domain registration for a long time, but they decided we got to make it clean, we got to make it modern, we got to make it simple. So they created Hover.com as kind of the new, the modern way to register a domain name. Great management tools. They do not sell hosting. They it's a domain name registrar. If you go to our website, which is hover.com/twig, you can get 10% off your first domain registration. If you haven't used them, you might want to just try it. I use their concierge service to move everything over to cover.com automatically. Why would you want to register a domain name? Well, it's more professional. Certainly, if you have a website for your business, it should be yourbusiness.com, or if you can't get .com, and nowadays a lot of people can't, .net is a very good choice. Hover has that. They also have .org, .tv, .pro, .mobi, .biz, .ca, .asia, .us, .uk. They have a lot of top-level domains, those are called. But I think .net is a very – I have leolaporte.net. Somebody has leolaporte.com. Domains start at $15. And by the way, that includes Whois privacy. Most of the other guys will charge you. They'll upsell you. In fact, that's one of the problems I have with a lot of those other guys is you can't get out of there. You can't get to your checkout without clicking 100 different boxes saying, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. You do want Whois privacy. That means they can't use your Whois record to look up your home address, your home phone number, or your business address or phone number. Whois privacy is automatic with each and every Hover domain. It's great for setting up email. I really like that. In fact, I think that's something everybody should do is have their own domain name and have their email forwarded to it and then use it to forward it to a mail server. So you could still use Gmail or Yahoo or whoever you want to use, but you don't expose that address to the public. So if you decide to move on, no problem. Your address does not change. Great for a permanent email address. I can think of lots of ways you could use Hover.com, but why don't you try it right now? Their concierge service is very affordable. I think $25 for all your domains. They'll charge you $10 for a new domain or a transfer, but that gives you a whole year of the domain renewal. So that's a good deal as well. Hover.com/twig is our special address for 10% off, or use the offer code TWIG. And one of the things I really like, they have great customer service. Their customer service reps are empowered to help you. And that's why they won't put you on hold. They won't transfer you. When you call during business hours, you'll get a live rep and you will get your problem resolved. It's just great. Simplify domain name management. If you're registering domain names, I invite you to consider Hover from now on. I moved all my stuff over there. Really great. Hover.com/twig for 10% off your first new domain names. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Gina Trapani and our Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
What's new at Google?
Big launch this week was Google Now for iOS. You guys see this? Yeah, it's not quite as functional as the one for Android. It actually comes packaged with the Google Search app for iOS, for iPhone and iPad, but includes things like traffic updates based on your calendar or sports scores based on your location.
It seems to have the same cards for me that I would get on my Android device.
It does. It does. Well, it's missing certain things like nearby events, activity summary, the boarding passes. I don't think that it has quite the hooks into your Gmail account that maybe Now for Android does, but nice to see it. And you also have to launch the Google Search app in order to see your cards versus, you know, launch it from the home screen the way we can on Android. Still love to see Google now sort of launching to other platforms. I saw a couple of Android blogs saying, oh, Google Now should have stayed Android only because it's a differentiating feature. Agwash, I say. Love to see Google Now on iOS, and I'd love to see it in Chrome too. Hopefully it'll come to Chrome as well.
Hogwash, says Gina.
Hogwash!
Hogwash.
That's Gina's imitation of Dvorak. This is nasty. Hogwash.
Hogwash. What else? Oh, so Google Web Fonts, Google Fonts, which was formerly Google Web Fonts, is now available for desktop use. Starting today, you can download Google Fonts for offline access on your desktop. There's a tool. You have to download a tool from Monotype that basically downloads the fonts and syncs them to your desktop. So this kind of runs in the background on your Windows or Mac device and just lets you use Google Fonts in offline and in your desktop applications as well. Yeah, I really like Google Fonts. I use them on my website.
What, like more than 300 fonts, right?
Yeah, there are.
While you're there, I got a question.
Yeah. So,
being that I live La Vida Google, and I had a whole big document, university document I had to print out this week. So I had it at home. I had it all formatted and everything else. I had it on my Pixel. Then when I switched over to a Mac because it was hooked up to the printer that I already had configured, still in Google Docs, the formatting changed. Is that because it uses the local fonts?
The formatting or the typography? The typography specifically? The fonts were different?
Spacing, page breaks were off and things like that because it was still Times New Roman on both, same 12 on both, but it was different.
Hmm. And this was a Google Doc, like inside your browser? Very strange.
Google Doc inside the browser. So it was like it was using, I couldn't figure out why, but it doesn't use local fonts, right? It uses Google fonts.
Yeah, that should use Google Fonts. And that doesn't sound like a font. It doesn't sound like a typography issue. It just sounds like a, like, line spacing or, page break issue. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, if it was a local document where you're using, like, different versions of Word, I would say, oh, well,
no,
interpreted the font.
What's that you ask? Use what? What an odd name for a product.
We need a Ricky Martin Livin' La Vida Google theme for you. Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'm stumped on that one. Oh, okay. I don't know why that would have happened. Sorry about that, Jeff.
No. I just thought it was odd. It was an odd way to understand how docs work. That's all. And it was fine.
Yeah. It looks like there's over 600 of these Google fonts.
Wow.
It's quite a few.
They've expanded it quite a bit. Is it just the Monotype fonts I can get, or can I get them all?
I believe it there's a...
Because Monotype's doing this downloader, right?
Yeah, Monotype is doing the downloader. And no, they're the Google font. So they teamed up with Monotype to offer.
That's neat.
And using the tool I downloaded earlier, you can sign into Monotype and get their fonts, or the Google fonts are just free right there.
That is a really great deal.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Grumpy Wizard. What is this? Is this the quick angry fox jumps over the lazy dog? Grumpy Wizards make toxic brew for the evil queen and Jack.
Yes.
Oh, that's way better.
It's a new quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
I like it.
Yeah.
Grumpy Wizards make toxic brew for the evil queen and Jack.
Did you say angry fox?
Yeah. Well, he did. It's the quick brown
it's
fox.
Brown? It's brown, not angry?
Yeah.
I'm angry.
In Leo's
jumps
world,
over the lazy
I'm
dog.
I'm still angry over that.
Angry about glass.
I'm glass-gry. Glass-angry.
Google also this week launched a new Chrome extension. Actually, this might have been related to your problem, Jeff. There's a new Chrome Office Viewer Chrome extension that renders Word, Excel, and PowerPoint files directly in your browser. Right. So right now, if you open up a Word, Excel, PowerPoint file, it'll open in a drive-based viewer. But you can install this this Chrome Office Viewer, which is still in beta, and you actually have to be running the Chrome beta or be on a Chromebook. This is actually, I guess, by default installed on Chromebooks right now.
It actually wouldn't let me install it before.
Oh, it wouldn't let you install it on your desktop or your Chromebook?
On my Chromebook. Give me the name of it again.
Chrome Office Viewer.
It said I couldn't do it on this machine, but I then switched to the beta version of Chrome. Maybe that was wrong.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So Google says this.
Nope. There we go.
Oh, the TPS report. That's nice.
Yes.
A little tip of the hat to Office Space.
A little Office Space. Yeah, a little Mike Judge going on there. I like that. So Google says that the advantage to using this plugin over Drive is that it will help protect you against malware because the files open up in kind of a specialized sandbox. And they say, quote, to impede attackers, use compromised Office files to try to steal private information or monitor your activities, which is kind of funny. I feel like that's an underhanded accusation of Microsoft for trying to do the things that
Not even underhanded. It's blatant.
Clear.
Nothing underhanded about that.
So speaking of Google Drive, the plusification of everything continues into Drive. I'm actually not seeing this change in our Twig rundown document, but I saw it this morning at another doc. You'll see now there's a sidebar chat on Google Docs. Well, those are now tied to your Google Plus account. So you'll see your Google Plus icons, and if you mouse over the icon, you can follow someone or add someone to your circles. This is right inside Drive. You can start a group chat, kind of like what we do the group chat in the sidebar now, but it's just a little bit more plusified.
Is this a touch of Wave?
Is it attached to Wave?
A touch of Wave.
Was it a touch of Wave?
Sort of Wave. Yeah, a little bit. It kind of is. It's kind of like it is. It's kind of like Drive's updates as you type, which is very Wave-like, and now it's got Google Plus users in there. So you can add to your circles and you can start a chat. So yeah, it is kind of wavy because it's that chat while you collaborate on a document.
Neato.
And there's a new look for anonymous users. This is interesting. Anonymous users will get a random like animal icon. You can see up on the screen.
The tip of the hat to O'Reilly there.
Yeah, it does. It looks that way, right? Is there a tarsier in there?
I've got the. If you look at my screen chat, I think I have the. Maybe we could use this one, the quick brown fox jumping over a lazy dog. Here, let me
That dog is upright.
Wait a minute. No, there's a picture. Where's the motion? Where's the video? It's supposed to move.
There you go. There you got it.
Click. There we go.
There we go.
There you go. Here it is. This is a quick fox. He's okay. Quite do it. Let me try again, fox. Try one more time. There's that lazy dog. Do you think they trained him to do this? There we go. There you go. Okay.
Nice.
And he's quickly out of there. I did it, and I'm done.
Did it, and I'm out.
Yeah. sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Last changelog item, Google has announced that app activities are coming to search. So a couple weeks ago, I think we had a couple of Googlers on to talk about this, that Google had opened up Google sign-in for apps. So like if you're using Fandango, for example, on your phone, you can sign in with your Google Plus account. Well, Google really wants developers to use those services because then Google can collect information about usage on apps. And then they're going to show stats about that usage in their search results. So soon, this hasn't rolled out yet, but if you search for a site or an app on Google.com and that app has integrated with Google Plus sign-in, you'll see popular and aggregate user activity in the right of the search results in that knowledge graph area. So if you search for, say, Fandango, for example, you'll see the top movies among Google users.
Oh, neat.
So they're rolling out this feature in desktop search over the next couple of weeks. They're starting with limited number of music and movie apps. So Deezer, Fandango, Flixster, Slacker Radio, Songza, SoundCloud, TuneIn. But they're going to be adding more apps over time as more apps integrate this. My guess is that at Google I/O, they're going to be pushing this hard on developers because they want developers to be using this sign-in because this makes search results better.
Yeah, I looked at the schedule for Google I/O. There's lots and lots of sign-in sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule's up. I put it on the rundown.
Oh, cool.
And,
yeah. That's all I got for the changelog.
That's my signal to you, Chad, now. I just do this, and you're supposed to know. That's the timpani. Dum, dum, dum. Yeah, it makes sense. Google, it's a very clear strategy with Google Plus and the Google sign-in collecting signals.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, the
Bingo.
Better. Yep.
Integrated one experience, all tied back into your Google Plus profile, right?
One man's creepy scroogling is another man's collecting signals. That's all there is to it. Comex, fired at Apple, working for Google. Who is super hacker Comex? Let's ask our own super hacker, Gina.
Who is Comex?
He's
the guy who first, I think, rooted the iPhone.
Oh.
Apple hired him as an intern. He was a college kid. Apple hired him as an intern, but then evidently he didn't respond to an email in time, and they axed his internship. Oh. Google said, come here.
He wrote Jailbreak Me with the hacking tools for iPhone and iPad. Nicholas Allegra is his real name.
He's not going to be on Android because he doesn't like Android.
That's funny.
Oh, did he say that? He was so.
I never liked it enough to want to hack it, he said. That's awesome.
I mean, or you could say it doesn't really need to be hacked, but okay.
That's the answer, right, Gina?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently.
This kid's got a promising future.
Yeah. I mean, people were amazed that when Jailbreak Me 3 was released, apparently, according to Forbes, the information security community was baffled that a teenager had single-handedly unlocked the most tightly restricted consumer operating system in the world. Charlie Miller, who's famous for hacking Apple, said he was totally blown away. This copy is hysterical. Fellow Apple hacker Dino Didzovi later commented to another reporter, Allegra seemed to be from the future. Within 2 months, he was given an internship at Apple. But a year later, he was suddenly let go for failing to respond to an email that would have extended his employment.
I love that. He didn't respond to an email.
I'm busy.
He didn't respond to an email. He's busy.
Hey, would you like to keep your job?
I'm busy, never man. Responded. So now he's interning at Google. Wonder if he's doing summer code stuff or...
Is he checking his email more regularly?
I don't think... It's just bizarre that they'd fire because you didn't answer to your email. Well, I guess they're saying, would you like to stick around? And he didn't respond.
That'd be very Apple to me.
Maybe it went
if you don't care enough to do the Apple thing.
Well, that's a funny question because I recently sent an email to one of our employees with exactly the same question. And you know what? Seriously, this person did not respond. So what do I do? Tell him to go work at Google.
This is my favorite part of this Forbes story. He said, after the missed deadline, the offer, this was to intern to be employed at Apple, was permanently rescinded. And this is a quote. I wasn't too happy about it, but it didn't seem like I was able to fix it, he told me at the time. So this kid can jailbreak iPhones and iPads, but he doesn't have the social skills or the maturity to be able to go to the person who employed him successfully and get them to change his mind and be able to apologize for a missed email. There we go. I have great respect for his technical chops, but...
That's pretty typical, though, Gina, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And no, very typical, but it was just interesting that he said, I wasn't able to fix it, like as if it were a bug in the system.
Right.
They let him go because he missed an email that he was not able to fix.
I filed a trouble ticket, but I just, we couldn't figure it out.
Won't fix.
I couldn't root the Apple management structure.
I don't understand it.
It's so if you're... employee person, Leo, I came to you and said, look, I'm really sorry. I missed your email.
Yeah,
I had a tough
I'd
week.
Fix it.
You would fix it.
Yeah. sorry. Okay. But he is an intern. Interns, that's different.
And this is an internship at Google as well.
And, yeah.
Wouldn't someone have said, let's try a little harder than sending an email?
Well, you got to think now that there's an article about it in Forbes that somebody at Apple knows about it.
You think they would have picked up the phone if they wanted to employ him.
Go buy his office, maybe. I don't know.
Well, they have a lot of it. There's a lot of interns. You saw the movie.
Sure.
It's a busy. Actually, what happened to that movie? Vince Vaughn interned.
That was the Google. They went to Google to intern, not Apple.
Well, but whatever happened to that movie?
Oh,
I think it must have been so bad they never released it.
Let's Google it.
Direct to the internet.
It's in a bin somewhere with the Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs movie, just waiting to be released someday.
Isn't that going to get released at some point?
It's supposed to. Yeah.
They showed it at a film festival at Sundance, I think.
And Vince Vaughn
mysteriously disappeared. June 7th, it comes out.
Okay, we haven't missed it.
Not the Ashton Kutcher, the Vince Vaughn.
I would love to. That would be a Twig field trip.
Should we do a field trip and go watch it somewhere?
We had fun.
I'll go watch it. What's it called? Is it The Interns? Something like that.
I'm looking for it.
Something like that.
The internship.
Let's all go watch it with glass and then post our videos, our shaky head videos on the internet. How about that?
Yes. Hangout.
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's share it on Google Drive so everyone else can watch our experience.
Yeah, we could have a hangout. There it is, The Internship, 2013, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, they're rocking the
John
Google logo,
Goodman.
The typography, and the colors.
Yeah. Wow, that's it. From the trailer, it's going to be god awful. Seriously, get ready. No tomatoes at all. So Google last year hired Ray Kurzweil, another person. Apparently, he got the email and responded to it. I guess yesterday he moderated a live Google Hangout that was tied to the Will Smith movie After Earth. I think that was a week ago yesterday, Tuesday, actually. So he talked a little bit to Wired Magazine about the movie, but also about predicting the future. And they asked him, they said, you predicted search engines. Yes, I wrote about that in the 1980s. But did you predict you'd be working for Google? Well, that's the kind of thing you can't predict. What are you working on at Google? My mission at Google, to develop natural language understanding in collaboration with other researchers at Google. Search has moved beyond finding keywords. It still doesn't read all those billion of web pages and book pages for semantic content. So it's more than just indexing, right? It's understanding. And when that happens, we'll have Skynet. If your system really understood complex natural language, would you argue that it's conscious? Yes, says Ray Kurzweil. He said, I have a consistent date of 2029 for that vision. So he's working towards a singularity. And where better to do that than Google?
But it's interesting. He's not just talking about it being smart. He says this means emotional intelligence, being funny, being sexy.
Wait a minute. Being funny, I get. Being sexy?
That's what he says.
Hi, I'm Google. I'm here to give you a happy ending.
I really want my search engine to seduce me.
No, I don't. Right, no,
funny is
no. I'm afraid that
I'm going to look like Robert Scoble in the shower. Exactly. That's the problem.
Exactly.
That's right. Exactly.
You and I, Jeffrey, we were going there.
We're going there. Sorry, you were faster.
Wow. I think if you're going to be sexy, Google Bing has a better shot at it than Google. Just a
what
better
was that,
verb.
That search engine with the woman, it was like an animated woman kind of standing there like talking to you.
What's her name? Yeah. Miss Webster or something.
Yeah, it was something like
she
that.
She dissed me big time. Oh. You could find that on YouTube when you search for my name.
Completely, I don't know why.
It was a experiment by Microsoft. It was not a, it was never intended.
It was an improvement on a talking paperclip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Bob.
Her name was Miss something. This is Leo. I think you could probably find it, Chad, on YouTube. Because we did this on... I can't find it. Miss Cleo? Or no, Miss Dewey. That was it. Miss Dewey.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Miss Dewey. Chat room to the rescue once again.
There are so many great search results for Leo Laporte disses, by the way.
Yeah, here we go. I diss, we diss, you all diss. Here's Ms. Dewey. Wait a minute, let me.
Yes, there she is.
There she is. There she is. Let me see if I can turn up the sound. I've got Windows 8, so as you might expect, it's a little bit difficult. But let me see.
But you hold on to that machine.
Well, no. You know what? I was going to replace it with a Mac, but then I think they're going to do new ones. Here's Ms. Dewey. Oh, there's no sound. Wait a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord.
In this corner, we
this is not sexy. Okay, let's find another. here we go. Leo Laporte gets pwned by search engine. How about that?
Because they are always trying to compete with Google in the future.
Yeah, so not in their really, own game.
Exactly. They're trying to jump ahead of Google and see, you know, kind of come up with their own idea of what
search
the future
for me.
Will
let's
be.
See.
Okay.
I know that sounds vain, but I know what the search results should be for my own
exactly.
name.
Exactly.
Look at that.
So she thinks for a while, for a little bit, and then...
There's a reason why they call the TV the idiot box, and I think I found it.
Oh!
Oh, my God!
Oh! You're kidding!
That is horrible.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Well, at least
see,
she came up with...
I've been disrespected by a major corporation since
93. Wow.
Nice. That's awesome. It was a weird, classy. Weird response.
Miss Dewey.
Okay.
Yeah, it was more about attitude. But that's what I'm thinking. If Ray Kurzweil gets to it, see, now it's making noise again. I'm going to turn down the noisemaker. See, I installed a chat engine that is now telling me that people are chatting at me. What a surprise.
Can you not turn that off?
I'm sure I can, but I'm busy. Let's move along, shall we, to another story? What do you say?
Let's do it.
Oh.
Should we talk about I.O.? Should we
yeah, just do something, please, because I'm stuck in Windows 8 hell.
I.O. is in 2 weeks, by the way. I'm completely excited.
Is it that soon?
Yes, it's very soon. It's awesome. The schedule just got released, and it looks like there's only going to be a single keynote on the first day. So
oh, hallelujah.
Call.
What time? 9 o'clock?
Crossing fingers? Like 9 to 12.
Oh,
and there'll be
good
a break.
Lord. Okay.
There will be a break, good. Which I can't imagine that they're going to empty out that huge room to let people use the bathroom or whatever. I imagine it's just going to be a kind of stand up and stretch kind of break.
We will be covering that live. Actually, it won't be we. It will be Tom Merritt and crew, because Gina, Jeff, and I will all three be at the keynote. Only one of us will be wearing a Google Glass.
By then, you might have yours, Leo.
Mm. What about you? Didn't you get one, Jeff?
Oh, but I got it in the kitty program.
Well, so a lot of the people in the kitty program got it that way. Scoble got it that
really?
Way?
No, yeah. Scoble was at I.O.
He was at I.O.?
I think so. Didn't he have a low number in the glass thing?
Mm, I don't know.
I have
he's Scoble in it.
I'm pretty sure he tweeted it.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Yeah, Jeff, you might get yours. I mean, and actually, it would be you could might be able to pick them up while we're
I
there.
Want, so I want the picture because it's going to look just like the picture from the 50s of people with the red and green glasses. I want the picture of the entire keynote audience going like this with their Google Glass.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to look like. And it'll be just as historic in a few years. Remember when they did with the thing? Maybe
I'm sure
not.
That Google's going to ask everyone to turn off their Wi-Fi.
Turn off your glass.
Every single person in the room is going to have three devices on them, which connect to the Wi-Fi. Oh, yeah.
So one of the sessions at I.O. is how to void your warranty hacking Google Glass.
Is it really? That's the name of the session? I love it.
Yeah.
Which means they're encouraging it.
Day two.
Which means they're encouraging it. That's great.
Which is smart.
Good
day
for them.
Day two under the glass track.
They should encourage hacking it,
you,
right?
Leo, you have definitely. To click on more topics, I think, on that chart you just had.
Okay. That's all right. I believe you, Jeff. It probably works better on a Pixel.
Yeah. They said.
You bet it does.
There it is,
see, because I already read it all.
There's not a lot of, there's only a few, there's four glass seminars. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Hacking, voiding your warranty, hacking glass, building glass services with the Google Mirror API, fireside chat with the glass team, and then what does that say? Developing for glass. That's it. You'd think there'd be more, given how many sessions there are. Glass is just not that, I mean, if you look, you know, I mean, look at Android. There should be a ton of sessions. There's Google Plus.
And then go to Plus, you'll see a lot of stuff, as you said earlier, that's about using Google Plus authentication.
Yeah.
Signing in with Google
Plus. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, honestly, Leo, they could have folded glass into Android because, I mean, not a lot of people have it. I mean, it is Android. Not a lot of people have it yet.
One thing I didn't know that I found out from the Engadget review, which you showed briefly earlier, is that the glass is another device so that your phone doesn't hook up with Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, they said. Your phone has to open up it is Wi-Fi, I guess, but it opens up a tethering session. Well, you have to use tethering. You have to use tethering from your phone to the glass, and thus the guy said he's paying another $20 a month to be able to tether.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. I thought the glass.
I didn't either.
That sucks.
That really sucks.
If you're tethering to your so you have to tether to your phone in order to access.
Your phone has to be in hotspot mode. Mm-hmm. Well, that'll kill the battery fast.
I can't believe that.
That's not right. It's Bluetooth.
Just be able to. Yeah, it's why Bluetooth. Wouldn't you just be able to connect to any Wi-Fi?
This is also what Tim Stevens said in his review, is that you need to use the Bluetooth done internet thing.
Oh, that's why it's Bluetooth. It's using done. Okay, that's different. That's not the same as turning on hotspotting.
Well, it is to some.
But it's using the internet access. Yeah.
That's the problem.
That makes sense.
Mobile accounts. I have an AT&T grandfathered unlimited, and supposedly I'm not supposed to tether. Now, in fact, I can a little bit, but I don't want to do so much I get caught and thrown into AT&T jail.
So it's Bluetooth dial-up networking. So it is Bluetooth connected, but it's internet but it has internet access through Bluetooth. That makes sense. It'd have to do that. That's the only way it could do the internet access. Does that make sense? That makes sense.
They released a video, and I don't think it's actually in the rundown. They released a How Glass Works video. Actually, they didn't talk about
it. It was under glass. So.
Yeah, is it? Let's see. It's like it's a minute long. We played it last night on All About Android, but it kind of shows how the touchpad works and how the UI, how you switch between cards in the UI and what the UI looks like. It basically looks like a horizontal Google Now.
That's it.
Yeah, there it is, Chad.
Welcome to Glass.
Here are the basics of how to use Glass. This is your touchpad. It runs from your temple to your ear. Tap the touchpad to wake up Glass. You should see the display above your line of sight. Adjust it to see everything. The home screen shows a clock. This is your timeline. It's a row of cards.
Wow.
Things to the left are happening now or coming up, like the weather.
Whoa!
Flight,
you can scroll
or
through
an event
it.
In your calendar.
So that's Google Now.
You can
basically
tap on any card
yes,
to see
exactly.
More.
Exactly. That makes sense.
Swipe
huh?
down anywhere yep. to go back to the timeline. Cards to the right of the home screen are from the past. For example, messages, videos, or photos. Tap on a photo to share it, and choose one of your friends. Swipe down to go back to standby. And have fun exploring.
Yeah, so we were talking about this last night on All About Android, and I was saying, like, oh, I didn't realize that there was going to be, there's so much motion, there's so much kind of temple rubbing, and then someone from Google tweeted at me and said, you can wake up Glass by tilting your head and saying, okay, Glass. So you don't have to be touching the touchpad. So you can sort of do it with head gestures as well. But I feel like that was more information than we really have gotten in a while about what the UI actually yeah. looks like.
Do you watch a TV show called One Tree Hill, Gina?
No, I haven't. Mm. I've heard of it.
Stars a woman named Sophia Bush. She's apparently dating Google's hottest hunk. According to Perez,
love this.
According to Perez Hilton, Coachella's hottest hitter hipster. Let me just read you the. I've never read Perez Hilton, but apparently it's Sophia Bush. She's the star of the TV show. Sophia Bush is bedding down with a handsome new hottie, and we love it. The sultry, sexy One Tree. Well, sexy S E X X X A Y. One Tree Hill star recently went public with her latest love interest, and we have to admit, we are totes impressed. Google program manager Dan Friedenberg is a handsome, smart, and he has a super steady, totally amazeballs job. Damn, girl, we don't suppose he has a brother. Lols. Holy moly.
Getting today in wow. Mountain View.
Working for Google is a little bit of a celebrity. There was an episode of Veep recently where they said something like, oh, she showed up a little late. It's not like she has a job at Google or anything.
Wow.
Like, there's this like a perception
street
of like
street cred.
You're a total rock star.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
I love that.
You can't pay for that kind of
yeah.
thing.
This fellow does look like a hot hunk, Perez Hilton worthy. I don't know.
Really?
No, I don't know.
It's your type of guy? Look at him.
No.
31-year-old program director Dan Friedenberg is a hunk-alicious. Girls, stand back. He's taken. He's wearing tomato-colored pants. I don't know about that.
Those are pink. What's his name? Let's find his Google Plus feed.
Those are pink. Those aren't tomato.
Oh, pink? Even better.
They're skinny. They're skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans.
I like it.
And a tank top that says, stop the pity. Don't know what that means.
And armbands.
Yeah, just look at those armbands. They have been clubbing.
Well, no, they're at Coachella. That's what you need to.
Okay, sorry.
The sweatband is completely gratuitous. That's just because he's such a hunk, he might sweat all over his arms.
Check the sneakers.
The sneakers are good. He's wearing Converse. Yeah.
All right.
No, those are Vans.
They're Vans? All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's a skater. She's got a hole in her skirt. I guess she can't afford better, but that's okay.
We are terrible. I'm adding him into my sort list right now. We are horrible people. We're horrible people for reading Perez Hill, number one. Number two. I suppose have a comment on our appearance, so we can do it as well. But I have just added Dan to my circles. He is on Google Plus.
Oh, he's hunkalicious.
Does he have any comment there on anything? Does he say he's hooked up with Pri Hill?
Apparently, they've been in a relationship for 6 months, according to Perez Hilton.
No, there's the shirtless photo of him doing a triathlon. He's quite the athlete, but...
Oh, I just love it. Mark Andreessen says glass-assisted surgery is in the future. Mm. Not my future.
For him?
By the way, my son is having his appendix out right now, Jeff Jarvis.
Was it an emergency?
Well, he had pain this morning, and Jennifer brought him to the emergency room. Yeah, so I guess,
Arthroscopic?
Yeah, isn't it laparoscopic or something nowadays? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, laparoscopic. Yeah. It's not, the recovery is not bad. And you're here working, aren't you?
I've been getting urgent text messages throughout the show, but I'm
good. They caught it.
Yeah,
it's good. They caught it, burst as mine was. It's
they did the blood test. He's no white blood cells, so it's not burst, but it's hurting. So they got rid of it. Or getting rid of it.
Well, it's over. That's it. Well, it was almost exactly a year ago when I had mine now.
Yeah. Yeah. I used you as a, because you're the, I said, Jeff was like on the show the next day. So I knew it was.
It's really, it'll be okay. Yeah. It'll be okay. Give him our best.
I shall.
Yeah.
I shall. Glass has already been jailbroken. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Was it the kid? Was it the kid who?
Was it Comex? No. No, it was not.
Hey, well, it's Android based. Try on glass.
This looks like it's Jay Freeman. It's Sarek.
Sarek.
He's wearing glass.
City of guy.
Now that's a guy should have glass. The city of guy. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what could you do with a jailbroken glass?
You can put other apps on it, right? So
you can run apps directly on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Glass, he says, runs Android 4.04 of all things, which is ice cream sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of old.
It took me 2 hours while I was having dinner with friends at the time. 2 hours.
While he was having dinner? Eating and hacking.
Social dinner.
Yeah. I met Sark and hung a little bit with him at food camp. He's a nice guy. He's obviously a very smart hacker.
But let's just say this. He's never going to be in Paris Hilton.
No.
I think he's a good-looking man. I'd date him. He's actually a lot of fun.
Chat room's going to go crazy.
I can't resist. Jeez, give me a break.
Anybody who says it took me 2 hours to jailbreak it while I was having dinner with friends is a winner in my book.
Yeah. He's got a good-looking brain, that guy.
Yeah. He got it through the developer program. He says, I'm not sure what gaining root access might make possible. He can't use glass because he wears glasses. So he says it makes focusing on the display painful for more than a few minutes at a time.
The other problem I've heard from people is I didn't realize people have contacts who are near and farsighted. One eye is near and one eye is far. What does that mean for how you deal with glass?
Yeah, I think I won't be able to wear it. And, given the – because that's exactly a description of my vision problem. Given that so many people wear spectacles in this world, I don't know what the
– last night I was at this party for Berta, the German publisher, and a guy there had – everybody's trying them on, and they're just putting them on over their glasses. Hmm. You look doubly ridiculous, but what the heck.
Well, and see, that's what I wonder. If you put a lens in it, it'd have to be before – you'd have to – I don't know.
No, the problem is what's right, Leo. It's a cutout.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they haven't done it yet.
You can't change the focal length of... Focal length is evidently quite a bit out here. But you can't change that.
Right.
You can't adjust.
Danny Sullivan's got it right. He says... Because I compared glass to the... as you remember, to the Segway. Yep. He says, no, it's not the Segway. It's Gordon Gekko's cell phone.
I like that.
I think that's actually right.
It's apt. Yeah. Very apt.
In the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas, Gordon Gekko, carries a brick cell phone is making a lot of calls. And it dated the movie. Funny, because the movie isn't dated in any other respect, but in that respect, it's hideously dated. So what he's saying really is glass. We're going to look back on this and say this is early days, right? That it's there's Gekko with his cell phone. That it's
The difference, though, is that with Wall Street and with cell phone, early cell phones, it sort of made you out to be, you know, well...
A dick.
Yeah, a dick. Whereas...
Well, I think that's what he's saying.
That's exactly what he's saying. Here's Danny's quote. Gecko was a jerk whose jerkiness was only enhanced by his phone, an expensive status symbol of its time. Mm-hmm. And so people will see this initially as... Only the wealthy, only the elite will have this. It's a, you know, kind of dicky thing. And then we start to see how useful it is, just as we did with cell phones. They become ubiquitous. And then it's like you're crazy if you don't have
one. They're de-dicked.
They're de-dickified.
But I think with cell phones, it was dicks, whereas glass, it's more nerds. I think there's a subtle
difference. Dicky nerds.
Dicky nerds. Chad, okay. Go to whitemenwearingGoogleGlass.tumblr.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. This is it's there. The techno utopian, like lots of disposable income. You know, just someone who's wealthy and thinks that you know needs to be connected all the time. So I do think that there's a nerd aspect to it. But right now, it's like the very connected nerd. Connected meaning like access to.
And
you know, the Explorer program, right? And wealthy, right? There's definitely
wealth. $1,500 Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm wearing glasses.
Keep on scrolling.
Yeah.
There's some new ones since I was there this morning.
Oh,
Scott Heiferman on Twitter showed this one.
There's Loic. Loic Lemur. Tim Stevens. Lance Woolenoff.
There it is.
And there's Mark Andreessen. Yeah, that's the glass.
That one is the middle guy. That's just.
That's too much. Yeah. These guys look normal. I can live with that them.
Looks like Dave Warner.
And then wait, go back to that. That's the old guy who's like us. is the glass?
He's wearing glass over glasses, right?
So it's over. So well, it no, work, no he hasn't made it separately.
Where's this is, maybe he took the rest of what? That's weird. The rest is missing.
He's at Google. He's a Googler, so they
specially crafted glass.
Yes. So they took that one part and put it all and clipped it all.
You know, I have to admit that doesn't look so bad. I mean, you're wearing glasses and you have a little thing on the top of it.
The beard helps.
I'll grow a beard.
I bet they'll have fashionable Warbys, you know, pretty soon. That was William Gibson.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's cool. I bet he wore it for 3 seconds and said, get this off.
No, there's a story somewhere.
He liked it.
He did?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to, but he did.
Creator of Neuromancer and the cyberpunk movement, great sci-fi writer, who... is not necessarily a fan of technology.
No, he's not at all.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you know, you notice it's getting more mainstream as we go down the page. No, there's Joshua Topolsky.
Yeah, there's just Owen. And there's the dreaded Scoble picture.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
I'm going to have to overcome that one.
That's fun. These people look more normal, so I don't think it's so. I want to see LeVar Burton wearing them.
Yeah.
Where's Jordy LaForge's glass? That's the first guy I'd give glass to.
Gotta happen.
Come on, marketing.
Yeah.
Get on it. We're going to take a break. Let's see. Any other big stories before we move on? Google has made it easier to turn its Pixels into highly expensive kiosks. No. No takers?
Well, any Chromebook.
Any Chromebook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you want a touch screen.
Nice, inexpensive ones.
Nah, you want to use a Pixel because you want the touch, right?
No, you don't want all those greasy fingers on it.
Android 4.3 is still going to be named Jelly Bean, according to Android Police.
Yeah, this is kind of disappointing. It's possible, and Android Police did some investigative work, it's possible that we're going to see Android 4.3 in 2 weeks at I.O. and not Key Lime Pie.
Yep. I think that's quite
just possible. It's a little bit of a bummer. As a developer, I was like, I wanted the next right. letter. But apparently Jelly Bean 4.3 is in testing right now. There's a build in testing right now, and we're looking at I.O. in 2 weeks. So it looks like that's going to be the next release. Maybe they'll preview Key Lime Pie, though, at I.O. maybe, and not release it.
Yeah.
But there is a build kind of in the works right now, Jelly Bean. So,
and if you were Thorsten Hines, CEO of BlackBerry,
that's pretty amazing.
How would you feel about the future of mobile technology? We're gonna have to sit through an ad here. It looks like before we can see. I want to see what he really said. Thorsten Hines
needs help.
Do you have it? Do you have it on there? Should I turn it up?
Sounds like somebody who's on Gilligan's Island.
So this, he actually doesn't
say
talk
what
about,
he said he would
you've
say.
Been, you've been debuting it here in Hollywood.
Right. No, he's talking about the
Q10.
Q10 and not about tablets. Okay. Here.
But he, according to somebody, and I don't know if he said this or not, Bloomberg said, he says, this is the quote, in 5 years, I don't think there'll be a reason to have a tablet anymore. Maybe a big screen in your workplace, but not a tablet as such. Tablets themselves are not a good business model. Maybe I'd say that if I were BlackBerry. They put out the playbook, which was a great failure.
Yeah.
I guess his point being what? That you're going to use phones instead of in lieu of tablets.
Or other or types glass. Of screens.
Or glass.
Maybe, or smartwatches.
He may not be wrong. He may not be wrong.
Or just a big touch panel.
Yeah, the only thing I use my tablet for is to watch movies when I'm on the road in the train or something. That's
See,
pretty
it's better
much it.
To read.
I'm sorry, I read the New York Times on it every day.
Better for reading.
I read books.
Yep.
Read books. Yeah, that's right. I keep on adding up. Yeah, I do a lot of things. The problem is that my Nexus 7, of course, I got the cheap one, so it's not internet connected. So that probably has an impact on my use.
Chipotle been banned in Eastchester, New York.
Isn't that, you could guess where that
what?
One came from. Yes.
What?
Why?
I think real estate snobbery, actually.
We don't want anything like that in Eastchester. We don't believe in that kind of thing. We don't have a Taco Bell either.
Digg finds 40% of respondents willing to pay for a Google Reader replacement. Digg, of course, said they were going to do a replacement, part of BetaWorks.
You and I always dubious about supposed surveys about willingness to pay.
Yeah, because...
They're willing to answer a survey. That's what
exactly.
That's what that
survey Yeah, I wouldn't base my financial model on that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'll pay.
Hey, chat room, how many of you would pay for Twig?
Yeah, no, don't ask them that.
Don't ask them that. That could be crushing.
Yeah. None of us.
Be nice, chat.
Nobody.
Pay in bitcoins.
Now, yes, 40% said yes, but that means 60% said no.
And none of those people will pay.
Well, here's the numbers for the New York Times. If you round up, it has approximately almost 60 million unique users, of whom about 3 million hit the wall, and of whom 600,000 paid pure only digital subscription.
That's about right.
Yeah. 1%.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
What apparently BetaWorks is thinking is that they don't want to do a ad-based version. They'd like to do a paid version. It says, free products on the internet don't have a great track record. We need to build a product people can rely on and trust will always be there for them. I think there's a move in that direction among a number of... this Pinboard, that's what they said. We're not going to do delicious. We're going to charge you.
Yeah, how well is that working?
I don't know.
And it could be, it could be a good business, but it's going to be a very small business.
Very. As long as people here's, but you build in the profit, right? I mean, it's like Twit. We're not huge.
Well, no, there's here's what always was forgotten, and I know this from my days in the magazine business. There's a subscriber acquisition cost, and there's churn.
Right.
So you've got to have some. You need a critical mass, and that means you got a marketing cost, and it's a large marketing cost.
Right. Good point.
When I started EW. Our subscriber acquisition cost was running $25 to acquire a subscriber. And we'd charge you very little. We'd make it on the third or fourth year of the subscription, and that's how it works. When I was at Delphi, subscriber acquisition cost was running about $100.
I'm sure it was the same for AOL and the other early online services. Very expensive. Those free discs cost something.
Exactly.
Good point. Although nowadays, because of the internet, I think customer acquisition costs must be a lot lower. They've got the name. I don't know. I mean, if they get
BetaWorks,
well, they've got the name Digg, and they also bought Instapaper from Marco last week.
I love the guys at BetaWorks. Let me be clear here, but I think that if you want to get to some critical mass of size,
right? Okay. There's a Posterous replacement. Yesterday, Posterous closed down. Twitter bought them. Thank you. Twitter. I loved it as a blogging service, but the two of the founders started something called Post Haven. They said, we're just going to charge you $5 a month. That way we know we're covering our costs and we can guarantee you this will never go down.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was Posterous.
Posterous. It's dead now. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to.
It doesn't matter anymore.
You can call it whatever you want.
Call it whatever you want.
It still doesn't work.
But posthaven.com will, well, it's too late, I guess. Well, it would have imported your posterous data.
It's post-posterous.
Post-posterous. I did it.
That is a good rationale for charging, though.
Right.
I mean, that you...
It was, you know, a free service, didn't make it. Twitter bought us.
And so you don't have to worry about someone, you know, failing or... Because you pay.
Well,
you
no, wait. But if not enough people buy it and you're committed and you've got fixed costs for servers or whatever.
Well, I think if 1,000 people pay $5, that's going to pay for what you need.
But there's, again, I go back. I'm sorry, but there's churn, right? So what's it called? What was the Twitter alternative app?
App.net.
Right? And nice people, and I went ahead and paid the money, and did all the things. I didn't use it, and I couldn't stand people coming along and saying, they've subscribed to me, and I don't do anything there.
Right.
So I pulled out entirely. And I didn't realize until after I did that they have a free version, too, but that tells you something right there. To hold on to people, they needed to do that.
No, it's a good point. By the way, you can't sign up for it anymore because last day to do so was yesterday. Posterous is down now, or Posterous. I guess if they got down to 100 users, it wouldn't be, and made $500 a month, it wouldn't be worth their time.
But, right.
Exactly. There's a critical level mass, it's not forever. Economic.
Yeah. Okay.
But do I think these kind of services that have social built into them really well, something like Posthaven, I guess is what it's called, don't you feel like the marketing cost is kind of built in? Don't you feel like the marketing kind of does it itself? Because presumably people are sharing links to their Posthaven blog, mm-hmm. and it's kind of advertising itself, which I think is kind of different than...
I agree. It's not a magazine.
It's not a magazine. It's a social tool.
Fixed costs are lower, but there is a point beyond which it could be too small.
But you still need growth, right?
Do you?
Still need to find new users somehow.
Why?
Don't you?
Why?
I don't know.
No, you don't. Only if you want a business.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, actually, not even if you want a business. If you're content with a business that doesn't grow. I think there's always this presumption, we got to get bigger and bigger. And I don't think you have to always get bigger. Do you? Let's say that they built into this enough to pay for a sysadmin and as many servers as they need for $5 a month. And they just run it forever.
Well, but they want an engineering team that's going to constantly kind of innovate, make it better,
I guess so.
Right? Yeah. That costs money. Yeah.
It doesn't do a lot of what Posterous used to do or Posterous used to do.
You can't really evolve.
Did you guys see Ghost, that open source mm-hmm. blogging platform Kickstarter?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really warmed my heart. It really did. I guess I'm just sort of an old school web person, but I'm like, yeah, man. 2013, there's an open source blogging platform getting built by somebody who worked on WordPress forever.
Nolan.
But blogging
is a Kickstarter. Yeah. You see, Zach Braff financed the sequel to Garden State.
There are a lot of people really upset about that.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Because he's rich.
Yeah, I mean, his net worth, isn't he worth like $22 million? What's he going to do his Kickstarter for? You know?
They say in the movie business, you shouldn't back your own movies. You should use some other money. I mean, I think this gave him freedom from, you know, there's this kind of anti-rich view that if you have money, you should all use it. You should never ask for money. Well, you know, he could go to the studios to ask for money. And then he said it was going to affect the product. Or he can go to the fans and ask for money. This is very Amanda Palmer. And Amanda Palmer got...
People hate Amanda Palmer for the same reason.
Not all.
Some
do. But a lot of people are very much her loyal fans.
I mean, it just feels like Kickstarter is a platform for artists who have a lot of talent but just don't have the money mm-hmm. or don't have the faith from the traditional sort of backers. So it's hard. I mean... I don't know. Maybe definitely. I got to look like Veronica Mars, for example. That I backed mm-hmm. happily because I was like, I want this. I'm a huge fan. I don't have no idea how rich or not Rob Thomas is, whether or not he could have funded it himself. But I felt like really, really good about that. The Zach Braff thing, I was sort of like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as big a fan of Garden State or of his work. But I was a little bit like,
no, Gina, you got a problem with a movie about Jersey, huh? What's the problem?
I loved Garden State back in the day when I saw it. I wasn't like, when are we going to get the sequel or the next Garden State? I was feeling that way about Veronica Mars. I don't know. I get it. It makes sense. It's hard for, you know, Braff did this whole thing about how, you know, the man was going to like ruin his movie. And it's kind of like, dude, you could use your own money. I mean, you are the man. Yeah. I mean, I think that was the sentiment. Like, you are the man.
Gina, shouldn't Shouldn't Kickstarter be for connecting with your fans? I mean, if you're rich or not, if Amanda Palmer has millions of dollars, shouldn't it be, you know, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. Shouldn't it be a platform for you to allow your fans to participate in what you're doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess I just feel better when I see Kickstarter bring kind of unknowns into. I want to see, you know, a completely unknown filmmaker who's just really young and smart and hustles, win at Sundance or whatever. Like that makes that's a story that makes me feel better than someone like Zach Braff.
I also want to see the platform be successful, and having some well-known names in there is part of what I think makes Kickstarter successful. Did you see Amanda Palmer's TED Talk?
Mm-hmm. I didn't. It's in my to watch. It's in my Instapaper queue.
It's really well done, and I think it's a model for some media.
Yeah, but
like
there's
NPR,
moments. There
the
are
Guardian.
There are cringeworthy moments in there, like when she says, "This poor family that she." They gave us their beds, and they slept in the living room so we could sleep in their beds. And I understand what she was saying, and I kind of get it and support it, but it was a little cringeworthy. Like, yeah, okay, that's nice.
it was a very TED moment.
But this is, you know what? Let me propose this: that what you don't like about it, Gina, is it's and the same thing with Veronica Mars. Which you did like. It's a backwards move. It's a nostalgia move, and I would like to see Kickstarter support. Forwards, not backwards.
Yeah, new things.
New
yes.
things.
Yes.
That's a good point. But I mean,
but isn't there also something
more?
People
want to give
Zach
Braff $2 million. Why can't they?
They're giving, and that would be the other question: is as long as people who are donating understand what they're getting, which is nada, zilch, zip, bupkis.
Well, I got into a big tiff with one of my students a year ago, and I'll give him credit now. That he went after Matter, which was a site that was up from journalists to do long form and charge 99 cents for it and blah, blah, blah. And I think they raised something like $140,000. And he went after them to the point. I went after my student. Thought, you're just being rude about this. My student was right. Matter was just bought by Medium. And my student did a post then that said, okay, folks, what did you get for your 140 grand? Yeah, maybe you got a couple articles, but you supported something that in turn just got sold. And there's no expectation of equity here, and that's fine. That's what it is. But what did you really support? You've got to think about what you're supporting when you do that. Now, I would argue, let me try another thing on you, Gina. I don't know if you were an Arrested Development fan.
I am.
Okay, so Netflix came along, and Netflix is the salvation of bringing it back. But let's imagine Netflix weren't there. Let's imagine the producers said, we want to bring back Arrested Development. We want to put it on the web, whatever the business model is. Let's go to Kickstarter.
Why not?
Yeah, maybe I'm just being too subjective about this because I'm just like, well, Arrested Development is all. I mean, no, I liked Garden State. I didn't feel like there was like a clamoring for another movie.
Well, I'm going to say there was.
It seems like there is.
Arrested Development. There is for Arrested Development.
There is. There's a huge fan base. It got canceled too soon. Like this is what happened with Veronica Mars, right? Like it just never got a fair shake. I would feel the same way about Firefly, Serenity, or Dollhouse. Like any kind of series that got cut off. Too soon.
Okay, so let's try that. Let's try that. So Star Trek gets canceled in 2013.
Like the original Star Trek
Original Star Trek, right?
Okay,
and
yeah.
That, and now the fans write letters and all this, and they can't get anywhere. Now they could come and say, well, F them. We can back this thing. So it fails Leo's test. It's going backward, but it's also taking something that's known and liked and supporting it.
Yeah, no, I would be in support of that. You know, for me, it's the rich thing. It's that I know that Zach Braff has enough money to fund his own movie. And Jeff, you're probably right. I mean, I don't know. I don't have that kind of money, so I don't know really what the rules are. I get. I don't know. Why wouldn't you fund your own
movie? They tell you should
never
put
in. Veronica Mars is being subsidized by CW, isn't it? I mean, that CW is putting up, like, they own the rights and stuff like that. So it's not just the creator who's...
Right. The creator basically said if enough fans kick in, then the man will match. Or there's some deal where they said the studio said, look, we'll help you if you get this, if you raise this much money, if you prove that there's enough interest kind of up front.
I think we can agree that there are ways we'd like to see Kickstarter used to do forward-looking public projects for the public good. However, it's an open platform, and so you're going to get people doing things that we might not agree with. But if people kick money in, and as long as they understand what they're doing, that they're not getting a share in Garden State, they're not getting anything, they're not even getting a movie. They're just saying, yeah, I'll give you $10 if you, please do it. But you may get nothing because I've learned that lesson kind of the hard way on Kickstarter. Yeah. I got a lot of nothing.
Right.
I guess the example that Jeff was using, though, I mean, of Matter, you know, you wouldn't have known, oh, there's a potential that they're going to sell what I just funded to
understand. You could be suckered by this. So yeah. all you're doing is using money to cast a vote in favor of something you want to see, and you're getting nothing for it. As long as you understand that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
You get the reward, right? There's a reward.
Yeah, you get a T-shirt.
You get the reward that you agreed to, right? Like you agree up front for a reward. I mean, it's not like you're not getting anything, right? Well, I mean, assuming that the creator follows through.
Well, but you might also think this Pebble watch is going to be really cool, and then get it and go, gee.
Yeah, fair enough. No, that you do have to be aware of.
They might make Garden State 2 and might be like My Weekend with Bernie.
Right.
Is that good or bad, Leo?
Yeah.
You be the judge.
You never know with
a geek. Look, that raised the money. There's obviously the fan base. I personally had a hard time sending Zach Braff $10 because I think I need my $10 more than Zach Braff needs my $10.
Then don't send him the money.
So I didn't. I didn't back it. I'll actually probably see the movie, right? But I just didn't back it.
Yeah, you'll give him your $10 then.
$4.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you get nothing for that either. You
include the babysitter, it's going to cost you some pretty pennies to see that
thing. I know, seriously. Oh, this is depressing.
That's I should have just backed up right
got the digital download. I wouldn't have to get the babysitter.
But I can tell you, Amber MacArthur, who wanted to marry Zach Braff, is so excited, and she gave money, and this is the greatest thing ever. So there you go. I mean, it's just to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be just my subjective sort of fan where my loyalties lie.
But I understand what you're saying, because I feel queasy about Kickstarter all the time, but I can't put my finger on it. So
here, let me give you the Amanda Palmer thing was what she says that at some point, if you just open up and ask people, they become generous and give.
Yeah.
As opposed to this whole notion Matthew and I love to go on about and get in trouble for of paywalls. You must pay. Right. I'm going to require you to pay. You should pay. You're bad if you don't pay.
Right.
And that's the attitude we have in media. Whereas what Amanda says is she was just a street performer. People just gave her money and she gave them smiles or flowers or songs.
I don't know why we have to have one or the other.
We don't. But she's at least saying, well, in the LA media, we only got two. We've got advertising and paywalls, and that's it. We're replicating the old models.
No, there's three. We can ask for money. I mean, this is the new way of doing it. Yeah.
Right. So Amanda says, Amanda came out with one album, and it sold 25,000 copies. And she thought, that's pretty good. Label said, no, it's not. It's awful. So she's out. She's gone. Next time comes around, she said, I'm gonna go to Kickstarter and get the thing supported. It was 25,000 people gave her whatever was $1.2 million. Right. So it was the same
number of people. Yep.
Was able to support something by just opening up and giving them the opportunity if they wanted to ask. No requirement. Obviously no requirement, right? Nothing.
And this is the promise. Go ahead. Hmm? But this is the promise of the internet, and that's why it's great. Because now there are more ways to do this.
There's another great Kickstarter project up today. Planet Money, Adam Davidson and company from NPR, who just did a great job of covering the financial crisis. They want to follow a T-shirt from the cotton farm all the way through. Mm-hmm. So it's you put in $25 in the project, and you're going to get the story of your T-shirt out of that, which is a nice idea for subsidizing a journalistic thing.
Fully funded. Now, see, this is the other question. They asked for $50,000. They got $73,000. What happens to the other $23,000? Profit.
They can use the money to do really good reporting. Yeah. I've got no problem with them getting an overage because they're public radio. They'll do.
But what if it was Zach Braff?
Aren't they fully funded already?
Like, I think Braff said they'll say that then we'll contribute the rest of the money to the movie. We'll just make the movie better. That's what they did with Veronica Mars. Like any overage, we'll have better shooting locations. We'll be able to spend more days shooting. Better catering. Well, right. But you know, with Veronica Mars, they were like, we'll shoot in Southern California, which is where we shot the show. We wouldn't be able to afford that if I just get the minimum.
So they don't say on this one, on the T-shirt one, what they're going to do with the $23,000 extra dollars.
But I think that's easy. They do a lot of good reporting.
I don't begrudge them. I agree. I think they're wonderful.
They did the best reporting. The giant pool of money, it was called. It was a co-project with This American Life. If you listen to it, people, it is the best explanation of how we got in the financial crisis. Beautifully done.
I actually like the idea of doing special reporting projects like that. You know, Kickstarter funded or specially funded. So instead
it gives
of just,
the people a voice
I'll give NPR
in what
a bunch
doing,
of money, give them something for a specific project. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see more companies try to do that, more media companies.
Yeah, I just back the Aaron Swartz documentary. That's something I'm really kind of excited about.
So this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you look at projects, and some of as long as people know what they're getting when they give money, which is the only question mark in my mind.
Yeah.
Then it's great. And I think that Kickstarter has done everything they can. And, you know, when they started Kickstarter, it really was about funding creative projects like plays, movies, comic books, novels. It was for the arts. And the fact that it's become so much more, I think, is interesting. And what it means is there's new ways to fund things that make more possible for us. So that's great. It's creativity. Funds creativity.
And on that happy note.
Yes, I'm going to take a break. Actually, I had a couple more things. What was it? I should mention this EFF site. That was it.
Yeah, actually, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Who's got your back?
Yeah, who's got your back? I think you can Google it, but we talked about it on the previous show on Security Now, and I think he made a bit.ly, bit.ly/whoback. Let's see if it works. Nope. Why back? Thank you. You got a good memory. That's probably because you're young, Jeff Needles. Why back? Let's try that. Yep. So bit.ly/why back. Who has your back? This is the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They have collated information about which companies help protect which data from the government. There are six categories, ranging from requires a warrant for content to tell users about government data requests, publishing transparency reports, publishing law enforcement guidelines, fights for users' privacy rights in courts, all the way to fights for users' privacy rights in Congress. Apple has one star. They lobby. AT&T has one star. They lobby. They don't do anything else. Comcast publishes law enforcement guidelines and fights for users' privacy in court. That's it. We'll go down to Google, which has all but one star. They don't tell users about government data requests. I don't think that's strictly true.
I think they do when they can, but it's not legal.
They're not legal in some cases. Right. So I think they
Twitter and Google are both fighting around. Twitter got that star. Google didn't. But yeah. They're both dancing around the same issues.
So I'm not sure. I think Google probably deserves more credit than they get here. But Sonic.net, which is an internet service provider from here in Sonoma County and a really great company, and Twitter are the only two companies that got all six stars. Verizon, zero stars, along with MySpace.
Some good work there.
Good work there. Nice job. So worth looking at. I might question a little bit about this one on tells users about government data requests.
Because they do.
They do.
But not all of them.
And they can't legally on some of them in which, so they gave the outline. Right. Remember, they gave the outline. Well, we can't say exactly what. I think that they've complied with in every respect that they can. Our tip, number, and tool of the week. And Matthew, if you want to give us a tip or a tool or something fun, a recommendation, we'll do that too. Matthew Ingram is here. Great to have you from GigaOM. Jeff Jarvis, Gina Trapani, you're watching This Week in Google, brought to you today by 99 Designs. I should, show our Teespring contests or a T-shirt. We have our own T-shirt, And we didn't do Kickstarter. We just did a Teespring. TEESPRING.com/twit. What we do is we create limited edition stuff. We did mugs. We're doing a bobblehead. Right now it's a Twit T-shirt, but the story behind it is kind of interesting. This was design created by designer at 99designs.com. It's a place where designers go to get work. It connects businesses seeking good-looking, affordable designs with a community of over now 200,000 graphic designers who visit 99designs.com. So we asked for designs. We got a bunch of them. And man, I'm thrilled with all of the designs we got. Then we asked you to vote. That was the winning design. But you can get all sorts of stuff. Logo design for starting at $299. Web design starting at $599. Digital marketing collateral like landing pages, Facebook cover design, banner ads, infographics. I like that one. That's a good one. Those cost $199 or start at that level. Print marketing collateral like menus, brochures, flyers, greeting cards, product packaging start at $199. T-shirts and hoodies and other apparel, $199. Mobile app design, even, $599. This is a really neat place. So what you'll do, in fact, if you use our offer code, you're going to get a special deal. What you'll do is put a posting on 99designs saying, I want this design, and designers submit their tentative designs. You work with them back and forth to get the design you want. Then you pay for your favorite. Very simple. If you visit 99designs.com/twig, you'll get a $99 power pack of services for free. More designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design product in the marketplace. That means you'll get nearly twice as many designs. So you can call them at 800-513-1678, a special number just for our listeners, 800-513-1678. Chad, we should put that on the lower third. I just thought of that. Or visit, this is on the lower third, 90 and easy to see, 99designs.com/twig. Love this service. We were really happy with the results we got, and I think you're going to want to try it. We actually have a new project we're going to be putting on 99designs. Stay tuned. I'm kind of excited about it. Time for our tip of the week, Ms. Trapani.
I got this one from Lifehacker. This is one of Google's advanced search operators that I actually wasn't aware of. You can search within numerical range by using a dot dot, right? So if you saw an article, for example, I was looking for my favorite BuzzFeed list of all time, which is 33 animals who are extremely disappointed in you, which is very funny. And I couldn't remember, like, was it 33? Was it 10? Was it 100? Well, you can search Google. You can do, like, one dot dot, you know, 250, and then animals were disappointed in you, and Google will return results for any headline that has a number within that range in wow. it. The Lifehacker example, Lifehacker does a lot of top 10s. I realize that everyone's probably cringing at the idea. There are so many lists now, the top 10 this or 167 ways to do that. And, yes, they're probably killing journalism, but sometimes they're really fun and funny and a good place to start your research. So if you're looking for a listicle, you're looking for any headline or web page.
That dog is so disappointed in me.
Is very disappointed. Very disappointed. This list is so appeals to my sort of Catholic upbringing. Like, this is totally, like, you know, very frankly shocked and disappointed. So you can use that the numeric range with the dot dot in between numbers if you're looking for any web pages with a number in it, but you're not sure what that number is, but you just know what the range is.
That is a wild operator.
Yeah, it's a crazy operator. It's
programmers get it because it's range.
Yeah, it's a range, right? Exactly.
But boy, that is a weird operator. Only Python, yep. Only a Python programmer would think of putting that in.
Yeah. So when you're looking for 67 ways to juice up your Android phone, you should just do, you know, 10 dot dot, you know, 100, and you'll find it.
That's hysterical. Is PHP, you do PHP programming too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does PHP support that operator, the dot dot?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that I would do it that way. I would just do less than and, you know, greater than. You know, I would just do a logical and,
right.
You know, conditional. I don't know if it does ranges. Python does do that, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. 1 dot dot 10.
I should check it because I like it. It's briefer.
And now it's a Google operator.
Yes.
Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
17% of adults in the UK, according to the Future of Britain report commissioned by media agency, 17% of UK adults think that Google has their best interest in heart. Tied with churches. Slightly under 19% for supermarkets, but I don't know whether this came before or after horse meat and their beef.
17%? Wow. I think Brits just are not a trusting people.
They are not. They are not.
That's ridiculous. How can you not trust churches and grocery stores?
Well, I got reasons. I got more reasons not to trust churches and grocery stores than I do Google.
Exactly.
Who do they trust? Maggie Thatcher?
The National Health Service.
The National Health Service. Doctors.
37%.
Yeah. That's only 37%.
There are a bunch of commies, of course.
Wow.
I wish I had.
I did not usually think of Britishers as skeptics, but I think that we can now say
they definitely are.
The skeptical aisle.
Yes.
Yeah. Big Ginge says, we trust our government. No, you don't. Do you, Matthew, want to give us a tip or an app you like or anything like that?
I guess this is kind of a cop-out in a way, but Google Now, I hadn't really, you know, I'd looked at the cards, but I mean, using it at home, I mean, I go so few places, you know, and I work at home, that the cards weren't really hugely useful. But when I was traveling in Italy, it became enormously useful, and I really started to see the potential. You know, it telling me, bringing up my boarding pass, telling me, you know, there was traffic on the way to the airport, so that I didn't miss my flight. that stuff is, it's simple, you know, it's just, and it's not rocket science, but it just, it was incredibly useful.
I agree. I'm a fan. And in fact, to me, that's, if Google Glass does that, I might be very interested.
Yeah. Exactly. It was just, it really opened my eyes.
Yeah. And I kind of guess I did my my tools because I showed them both, the HTC One and the Galaxy S4. We are, I'll tell you, there's just no question in my mind that Android is knocking it out of the park one way or the other. And the nice thing is the amount of choice you have, that between the Nexus 4, the Galaxy S4, and the HTC One, there's something for anybody.
Yeah.
I put my mom on a Galaxy Note 2. She's never had a smartphone. And I put it, now, Samsung does offer this kind of simple mode. So I put it in there. It had big text, which was great for her eyes. She's 80. And she's loving it. And she's just, she used the S Pen to sketch with. And I thought, you know, this is just really exciting to me. I thought Android might be a little complicated for her, but no, she has no trouble with it. So
that's great. It just seemed like a golden age for Android. I'm excited about I.O.
Yeah. Great time. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you to Matthew Ingram, GigaOhm.com. Good to see you in the boxing gloves.
Great.
You kept the gloves off during the show, and I think that's important. He's a Canadian, so he's nice. Are you Canadian?
I am, yes.
Yeah. I kind of knew.
He believes in process, didn't you hear?
Process. Well, make sure that you keep us on your schedule for future.
Okay.
Thank you.
Or you'll be oot.
No. I'm sorry. He's never coming back after this, Jeff.
Like, we're mocking
him. I love him. I'm a Canada file.
I'm so glad you're...
we are both Canada files. I agree.
Matthew, thank you for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you. Always good to see you.
Thank you for not mocking me.
No. It's great to have you, Matthew, always.
Not mockery, it's love, Matthew.
Jeff Jarvis, now appendix free, joins us.
Jarvis?
Jeff Jarvis. I'm going to butcher your name for every day you continue to give me a hard time about the Pixel.
Forever.
Okay.
Okay,
Jasper.
Okay.
Jeff is at buzzmachine.com. That's where he blogs. You can also read his books. Public Parts is the latest. And Gutenberg the Geek is a 99-cent single on Amazon.
Soon to be translated into German and into an audiobook on Amazon.
Awesome. What's the German word for geek?
I don't know. I'll find out soon.
It's 45 letters long.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Always good to see you. And, of course, Gina Trapani, now with infant.
Now, a quick plug. I uploaded a new release of my Android app to do text to the Play Store this week.
Oh,
lots of good optimizations, modernization going hollow all the way. I was having lots of fun with Android's contextual action bar this week. So check it out. It's at todotxt.com. And of course, I'm the co-host at All About Android, and that's on Tuesday evening. So should come watch that as well.
By the way, todotxt is available on iOS too for those of you who are still holding out.
Sure is.
Very nice. And you must
get the Android version better.
If you want to support your next project on Kickstarter, I'll back it.
Oh, I appreciate
that. You know, that's
that.
True. I would back anything Gina wanted to do, I would.
I absolutely
would. Wow, even the Kickstarter skeptic. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't believe surveys about who would pay. I don't know.
Oh, you believe me.
We pay. Honest.
Thank you.
We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2000 UTC on twit.tv. Please stop by and watch live. But if you can't, we've got on-demand versions, audio and video available after the fact. twit.tv/twig. Stay tuned. If you're watching live, Daria Pino joins us to talk about her new book, Foodist. I can't wait because I need to lose weight. We'll find out about that in just a bit on Triangulation. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.